If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. We all are thankful to see each one this morning. Got several visitors come this way. Glad you've come and be with us. Trust that by being here, you can leave and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Glad to have every member. Think about you. Don't want to leave you out. It's good to be here. God's blessed us with a beautiful day. Genesis chapter 19. We'll begin reading with verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, take thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hands and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. We'll cease reading with these verses this morning. And I believe everybody familiar with this story. Of course, Abraham was a great man of God. What the Bible calls be the father, or what we refer to him as the father of faith. And Lot at one time was very close to him. And Lot, we know that the Bible tells us Lot was a righteous man. At least he had a righteous soul. And that means he was saved. You can't have a righteous soul and not be saved. Before someone is saved, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So to have a righteous soul, that means that the blood of Christ has been applied there. And so we know that Lot was a saved man. And yet he went into a city. First of all, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, just looking at it. Then he moves into the city. He begins to do the things that the city does. He gets engulfed in sin more than once. Abraham had to bail him out. Abraham's prayers, no doubt, helped that man an awful lot. Even here we see that God was merciful unto him, and that was for Abraham's sake. The Bible lets us know that. For Abraham's sake, that he spared Lot. I want you to remember, go back to the time where you got saved. You remember what that was like, what that felt like? And I'm using that word felt very, just take that with caution. But you remember what that was like to be saved. And how that you realized that you were no more, bound to sin. That those chains had been loosed. And that you were going to heaven. And that you were a child of God. And all that began to set in, and all of a sudden you realized that you're no longer what you once were. You're a new person. Not anything to brag on. That's not us bragging. It's just the fact that now we're a child of God because of Jesus, because of what He did. Or do you remember maybe a week or 2 weeks or a month after, and here you are sinning again. You remember what that's like? The disappointment maybe we have in ourselves and the thought, well, I thought I wasn't going to do that anymore. I thought that I was never going to have to worry about sin anymore, and here it is creeping up on me again, and here it is seemed like almost harder to deal with than it was before. And you know, now it seems like I'm tempted a lot more. It seems like that the devil's after me, and just begin to look at life and, you know, maybe wonder, well, I thought I wasn't chained to sin anymore. I thought the bonds of sin had been let loose. And what we don't understand, or maybe we don't, or at least I didn't, Brother Mike, at the time I got saved, was the fact that just because the Lord had delivered me from sin, that didn't mean I wasn't going to still be tempted. And it was still going to be hard to be tempted by sin. And I was still going to fail. I think a lot of people in the world look at Christians and say they're not supposed to fail. And if they fail, that means, you know, what we believe is not true. Well, it couldn't be further from the truth. A Christian fails as well. We fail a lot, you know, and we will throughout our life. And we need to understand that, you know, God knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're just dust. And so to understand, but to see that grip that sin has upon us. And now the world will say, well, you're just human, so you can't help what you do. Maybe you got saved, but then somebody walked by and you looked at them and you thought the wrong things in your heart. And somebody said, well, you can't help that. You're just a man. We can't use that excuse anymore because God has delivered us. We can help it. Sometimes we choose to do the wrong thing. Sometimes that old fleshly nature that we still have, still drag that around with us, it still gets the better of us. Paul made that statement, didn't he? He said, the things that I would do, I do not. The things that I would not, those are things that I do. And then he goes on, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He realizes there's a battle going on within him. Who's going to deliver me from it? He goes on to give all the credit to Christ. If we're going to overcome any sin in our life, it'll always be through Christ. You know, we don't just need Christ the day we get saved. We need Him every day of our life, in every moment of our life. So I look at this, and Lot, he goes out, and he attempts to be a Christian influence, a godly influence to his family. But there's a problem. He's been living in sin. He's been accepting everything that everybody else accepts. He's been, he has not been what he should be as a Christian. Time and time again, he's had opportunity, and time again, the Bible said he vexed his righteous soul daily. Every day he got up and he was doing the wrong thing. But now he needed to help someone. He needed to help his sons-in-laws, and he goes out with a very desperate plea. And he says, you get up and you get out of this place because God is about to destroy it. And those sons-in-laws laughed at him. He seemed like, Brother Jake, he seemed like somebody that was mocking, somebody that was telling a joke. They didn't understand why something like this was coming out of his mouth. What do you mean, God? We've never seen you talk about God before. Yeah, and oh, and so they just kept on doing what they were doing. He could not help them. He had lost his influence, and now he could not even help his own family whenever times were very desperate. So he had no positive draw whatsoever upon them. And so we look at his life a little bit further, and he leaves those sons-in-laws, and now he's coming back, and maybe I almost picture him packing his bag. And these men of God, we look at them as maybe angels, and they're saying, you get up and you get out of this place. And the Bible said, while they lingered. That's amazing to me. I mean, that just blows my mind. You've got angelic beings that have come to your house and said, God's about to do something and you better hurry up and get out of here. And that, now they're dragging their feet. They're dragging their feet even when the message is clear. And listen, this morning, I want us to understand sin is dangerous. I didn't wow you. I see your face. That didn't wow you at all. But sin is dangerous and it's addictive. Sin is addictive. And just because you're saved, that don't mean that sin does not have its effect on you. And if we're not careful, we'll start buying into the same lies that the world buys into. We really can't help ourselves. We're just human. We're going to do the things that the world does. And if we don't, really, we're a hypocrite because we want to. And we don't have to. Listen to me this morning. We don't have to sin. You don't have to. But it is very powerful. It is very, very addictive. And sin takes hold many times. It wraps around. It's like a honeysuckle vine. I was at the hospital with my uncle. And somebody there was showing me a video of some preacher. And you just have to understand, everywhere I go, somebody's got a video of a preacher that said something awesome. And they want me to see it. And so he's showing me this video, and it's a Christian comedian, and he said he went and sat in a church house, and the preacher got up and said, "What are we going to do about sin?" And he said, he looked at him, he went, he asked him again, "What are we going to do about sin?" And kind of the same thing. He said, but the man kept asking over and over. And he said, finally, he stood up in his Barney Fife voice, and he said, "Nip it in the bud." Now you think about that. I know that's funny and he's just being silly about it, but really that's a good answer. Because if we don't, it takes root. If we don't, it starts wrapping around us again like a honeysuckle vine will. So I want you to see this family, Lot, and here he is, he's dragging his feet. Now God is merciful again, and they take hold of him. They take hold of his wife physically. Take hold of his wife, take hold of his daughters, and they take him. I don't know if they're flying through the air, but they take him and set him outside of the city. And they said, "Now get up into this mountain." And he says, "Oh, we can't really go up the mountain. Some evil might fall. Can we go to this city down here? It's a little city. Can we go there?" You can see the grasp that it has on him because he's so used to living in sin. He's so used to just doing what he wants to do that he feels like he can tell God, "God, I want to do this, and you just be okay with it." You ever live your life like that? "God, I want to do something really bad, and I hope you're okay with it." See what he's doing here? If you find where Lot, he spends his final days, he's not down in that little city. He had to get out of that city because it was dangerous. He had to go into the mountain and live in a cave. And there, well, we know the end of the story with Lot. He fathers children by his own daughters. Just sad, sad life that we look at. But you see that in Lot. And then I want you to see this wife just a minute. Because she's looking back. She's got them sons-in-laws that are back there. And we're leaving that. And she's probably leaving. And we forgot some stuff. You know how it is when you pack? Well, we forgot something. She's wanting to turn around. Problem is, God said, "Don't you turn around. What you're leaving behind, you can't go back to anymore. What you're leaving behind is going to cause you misery and heartache. Do not turn around. Don't even look back." The Bible says she looked back. Even though the warning is severe about this sinful place, she looks back anyway. And even though the angels have physically taking her outside of the city, and now they said, "Do not look back," she chooses to look back anyway. The Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. She said, "Well, that don't happen to people anymore. Sin is still sin." Anytime we disobey God, there's consequences. May not anybody turn to a pillar of salt, but there's consequences for sin. And even though we are saved, we still have that old nature that we have to deal with. And you know, there's times whenever it wants to draw us back into that old life and you know, back to the old ways and back to the sin that we have been freed from. So it's important for us to make a clean break. I said nip it in the bud. It's important for us just to make a clean break with sin, to get away from it. We're to abstain from even the appearance of evil. Not nudge right up against it, not see how close we can get without being consumed. We are to abstain from even the appearance of evil. We cannot linger in sin. You know, it's important that we get away from it. We can't continue to look back or continue to put ourselves in a position where we're going to be tempted on and on and on again. We just sometimes have to walk away. Looking back can be harmful. Brother Mike, there's some things in my life that I did years ago. It would be dangerous for me to look back and start considering that very serious. The Bible says even about Abraham, when he got up out of the city, it said if they would have looked back, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, even though Abraham got up and went toward the promised land, if he wasn't real careful, if he'd got to dwelling on the things he left, he might have turned around and went back to it. This morning, I want us to understand that same thing. I look at, in the book of Joshua and Achan and how that God gave a clear warning. Don't touch anything in this city. Everything in the city is accursed. You cannot touch it. And Achan looks over here and there's a gold bar. And he looks and there's some silver. And he looks and there's a goodly Babylonian garment. And he decides, you know what? Ain't nobody looking. Not going to hurt anybody. I'm going to take this and I'm going to go bury it in my tent. I wonder what, brother man, I wonder what good a goodly Babylonish garment is going to do buried in a tent. He's not wearing it. Where's he going to put it on? Where's he planning on going with it? It's just the fact it's there and it makes sense at the time to do this because it may bring me some pleasure down the road. He's not going to wear it in front of anybody in Israel. Where's he going to spend that gold? Well, I'm saving that for a rainy day. But it got him in trouble, didn't it? Because God said you can't touch it. When God says you can't touch something, we need to hear that warning. We need to understand sin is sin, and it comes with very steep consequences. You know, I've seen some that have decided that they want to sin so bad that they are willing to pay the price for it. Brother Joy, I've had some people tell me, well, I know what I'm about to do is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, and God can just get me for it later. I think, yes, when somebody makes a statement like that, that's very foolish. Because God understands the thoughts and intents of our heart, don't he? Consequences. You look at that Adam and Eve, and all they did was eat a little fruit out of the garden. What was the consequences? Well, the fall of the entire human race. Just because they decided to do what God said don't do. Don't touch it. Don't eat of it. Don't even touch it, lest you die. It caused the whole human race to fall. Moses, he struck the rock. God said, speak to the rock. He struck it. Why? Because he was mad at everybody. He's tired of the rebellious nature of God's people. And I'm tired. How long must I fetch you water? Boy, he's gotten aggravated. I feel so sorry for him because he's aggravated at people that's rebelling against God. But the problem is he's not listening to God while he's doing it. Very steep consequences. He missed out on the promised land altogether. You look at that, if we're not careful, we'll start looking and say, God, that's mighty harsh. You were just too hard on him. Just too hard on him. I'm going to tell you something about God. God is the potter. We are the clay. That means we're to submit to his authority. We're to listen to him, no matter what. No matter what you think about it, we're to listen to him. And I'm not saying that just to try to scare you, and God's not, he's not just trying to bully you. God created us. He can do what he wants. And when you say, well, maybe that's too harsh, well, we got to understand something about God. God is perfect in every way. In every way. And to him, sin is sin. And it's all black and it's all dirty. It's all ugly. Ananias and Sapphira. You mentioned them this morning in Sunday school. What did they do? Well, they lied to the Holy Ghost. That was their charge. But how do we view it? Well, they sold some land and they gave part of the price to the church, but they said they gave all of it. So, well, at least they gave some of it. But God was looking at their heart. They were trying to make themselves look good. Pride had gotten hold of them. God hates pride. There's consequences for it. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You know, we don't get to choose our consequences either. Or if we could choose our consequences, then we might figure up in our head, okay, if I want to do this, how much is it going to cost me? All right, I think I can handle that. Or no, that's going to be way too much. But the thing is, sin, it don't have a price tag attached to it. Oh, that adultery, that don't have a price tag hanging on it. Or that there's no orange sale sticker on today's covetousness. You know, I think I'll get it today, it's on sale. We don't know what the consequences are, but we do understand this. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible does say you will reap what you sow. And so we need to abstain from even the appearance. Sin always, always, always harms us. Even if it's not what we think of as getting a whip. Sin always harms us. It harms your heart. It harms your peace, your walk with God. It harms us. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Oh, how many times I've read that verse and I've used that in preaching, but don't you think about what's being said there. God is the judge. He gets to determine whatever the sentence is going to be. He gets to determine that. Might look at whatever consequences we have to receive. Well, God is in control of all that. But the Bible says because He might not do it speedily. Because, well, you told a lie, and so 5 minutes after you told a lie, God gets your attention with whatever consequence is going to be. Because He don't do it immediately. We get in our mind that we're getting away with something. And so we might try it again. And we might try it again. And the more we try it, the more addicted we get to it. The more intoxicated we might get, you know, with it. The more we feel like we, you know, well, maybe God's just going to let me by on this one. Because our God, because our old nature wants to sin. And we try something, and it seems like, okay, maybe I'm getting away with this. We get more and more involved in it. You know what you're doing? You're feeding that old nature. If you want to live close to the Lord, quit feeding the old nature. But we feed that old nature, and we feed that old nature. It's best to make a clean break with sin. Get rid of it. Cut it off entirely. I don't know what you fall to this morning. I don't know what bothers you, but whatever you've got to do to be close to the Lord, whatever you got to do to not sin is a good thing. Bible, how serious is it? Well, Bible says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. I'm not telling anybody, we're not fixing to perform surgery this morning. I'm not telling y'all to do that, but the Bible says sin is serious. And if there's something offended you, you need to do something about it. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. So, oh my, that sounds rough. Is God serious about it? Does He really want me to pluck out my eye? God's saying if you look at something you shouldn't be looking at, you need to make sure you get away from it. There's a lot of people looking at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. It's best to make a clean break with sin altogether. You know, at times we feed that old nature, and we feed that old nature, and because God does not strike us down, we tend to tempt Him just a little bit more. Well, one more try. One more try. See if I can get away with it one more time. If we're not careful, rather than eschew evil, Bible says eschew, we need to eschew evil. That means hate it. We should hate it. As a child of God, the longer that we are a child of God, the closer we should get to Him. We should draw nigh to God so that God will draw nigh to us. And we are to cleanse our hands, ye sinners. What the Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. We should want to cleanse our hands. We should want to draw closer to Him. And the more that we do, the more that we understand about God, and the more we look at sin and hate it. Not that we hate sinners, we hate sin. We don't want it in our life. It always destroys. Sentence may be delayed, but it is coming. Sin will find us out. We will suffer consequences of it. Now, I don't want anybody to leave here and think, well, Brother Brad, mighty harsh this morning with talking about sin. God is merciful. I don't ever want somebody to hear me preach and think that I'm, you know, just looking at God as He's up there with a big switch ready to tear us up or something. God is merciful. We are to behold the goodness and the severity of Him. We've got to keep that on even plane. We can't look at it all merciful, and we can't look at it all severe. God is merciful, and He honors true repentance. And I think that's one thing that's being lost, Brother Mike, in our day and time. It is quickly being lost, is the idea, the understanding of what true repentance is. Because there's many people, I'm running into more and more people that think true repentance is simply saying, I'm sorry. Now, think about raising children. You know, I've raised mine to a point where they think, well, if I say I'm sorry, I get out of everything. And so there's an artificial sorry. You get on to them and you tell them, quit doing that, and they say, sorry. And then they turn around and do it again. As long as they say, I'm sorry, that's good enough. But true repentance means to make a clean break from it, to turn from it. Don't go back to it anymore. We're really not sorry if we turn around and keep doing the same thing over. We may be sorry for we don't want the consequences, or maybe we feel like if we say we're sorry that we can hold God, you know, from doing anything. But God, He honors true repentance, and God is very merciful to someone that's truly of a repentant heart. Someone's got a broken, contrite heart. God's not going to turn that away. Don't think sin as much as you want to, as long as you say you're sorry. Think sin is sin and learn to hate it. Learn to put some distance between you and sin. You know, choose a clean break and turn from it. Never look back. If you're unsaved here this morning, I just want to say this to you. To be saved, you have to repent and you have to trust Jesus. That means you have to understand that you are lost, understand that you are a sinner, and turn from being a sinner to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. And if you will do that, He'll save you this morning. You say, well, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I'm a pretty bad sinner. Sin is sin. When Adam and Eve tasted the fruit in the garden, they become sinners, and they needed a Savior. Whenever the woman taken in adultery in the very act was brought to the Lord forgave her what she did. She was a sinner. A thief hanging on the cross. We talked about bearing false witness this morning in Sunday school. Oh, I tell you, it's tough to deal with people to lie to you. It's equally as tough a thief. You think about a thief hanging on the cross, getting exactly what he deserved. He was suffering the consequences of sin, and he understood what I'm getting, I deserve. But he looked to Christ and he asked for mercy. And Christ gave him mercy and saved his soul and took him to glory with Him. So it don't matter how bad you think you are. I'm going to tell you something else. It wouldn't matter how good you think you are either. Sinner is a sinner. And every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And every single one of us need to trust Jesus. And if you will this morning, He'll save your soul. While we ask for something.